It's MKFM. Delighted to be joined this afternoon by Mike Haywood, solicitor at Woodfines and specialist in defence and motoring matters at Woodfines. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Michael. It's very nice to be on here today having a chat to you about everything to do with the roads.
Well, lovely to speak to you. Of course, winter does see worse weather than normal. Do you see a rise in people involved in motoring-related incidents as a result of the weather?
Yeah, no question. Adverse weather plays a major factor in relation to road collisions. Mm. And it's something that is pretty well documented. I think in our country, we not only have to deal with winter weather, as we all know, we can sometimes have days of ice, some fog, yeah. Then we have rain, then we suddenly have sun low in the sky. It's all of those sort of weather features that can happen, not just in a week, but it also sometimes happens during the entire day.
Yes.
So adverse weather is a major contributor, though sadly, almost 9 out of 10 weather-related deaths are due to rain. It's due to the excess water on the roads.
Wow.
The major feature really being that stopping distances are pretty much doubled in the rain, and people really do need to take that extra care.
So what advice can you give to drivers who are driving in perhaps less than ideal weather conditions?
I think the important thing for any driver is to have regard to your journey. Think to yourself, is the weather today going to impair the journey that I'm going on? Add in that extra time. Do all of those sort of features, whether it's for work or whether it's for your personal life. Looking ahead and thinking, is it foggy today? Shall I make sure that I just add that little bit of extra journey time? Don't expect to still be driving at the same speed in the same conditions that you would in the dry. As I've said, the stopping distances are doubled pretty much.
Sure.
In rain, for example, if you're driving at 50 miles per hour and then you have an aspect of having to stop in an emergency situation, you can drive around 13 car lengths before coming to an end. That can be really impacted under ice or rain conditions. So it's really important to build in that and to reduce your speed, of course. One of the things that we see at this time of year is the ice on the windscreen in the morning. Of course, it goes without saying that you need to get your windscreens cleared for visibility. But it's also a clear indication that if your windscreens are iced up, the chances are so are the roads. Yeah. And you're sharing the road with other people that are having to deal with that extra hazard to make sure that those are clear. It's a bit of a misconception that, do we have to clear our windscreens? Do we have to make sure that they're clear of ice? Well, you certainly do. You need to make sure that the ice is cleared from your windscreens, that you've properly demisted. Snow as well. We often see people, when you've got snow on a roof, how they break and then it goes onto the windscreen.
Sure.
Those are matters that can be treated really seriously by the police. They're matters that build into whether somebody is actually driving carelessly and having regard to all road users. So it's those simple tips, really, to make sure that you are building in the weather conditions into your daily route planning.
Very good advice. And in terms of the potential consequences, if someone, let's say, hadn't cleared their roof of snow and an issue arose as a result of that, what might be the implications for that driver?
Yeah, it can be quite serious. And of course, we want to avoid anybody being involved in any form of collision. Being involved in an injury collision or damage collision is shocking for everybody concerned. But from a criminal law, motoring law, consequences position, if somebody is involved in a relatively minor collision as such, perhaps on one of our famous roundabouts in Milton Keynes, and the police were to see that the person's visibility was impaired due to ice or snow, then they will build that into the circumstances and perhaps suggest that the driving fell below the standard of a reasonably competent driver because the driver hadn't taken into account the prevailing weather conditions. In fact, a piece of helpful guidance comes from the Highway Code, which again stipulates quite clearly that you need to make sure that your vehicle and you have proper visibility at all times. The same applies with your vehicle and your driving style. So the police can investigate careless driving without due care and attention, if it can be shown that your driving has been impaired by a feature such as the adverse weather. So again, consequences of that can result in penalty points, can result in a fine. If you've already got points on your license, that can be quite a big problem. One of the things that we see on a regular basis these days, sadly, is that new drivers, those that have only taken their test within 2 years, can easily accrue 6 points in those 2 years. If they accrue 6 points in those 2 years, they're actually made to do a driving retest. That's a huge problem at the moment, where driving tests themselves is incredibly difficult to get. And a lot of people just don't see that rule that applies. It's not difficult, sadly, these days, to find yourself going slightly over the speed limit. You shouldn't do it, but it does happen, and you get 3 points. If you're stopped because your car hasn't been cleared of ice, and the police take the view that that's something that's impaired your vision, you might get another 3 points, and before you know it, you're on 6. And every point is going to impact on you. It's going to impact on your car insurance premium, all of those aspects. So I really do urge people to take care, because each of these points has a major consequence on your driving license. A driving license is a very precious belonging, and one that gets you to and fro through your social life as well as your work life. So really do take care of those points and your driving licenses.
So the highway code that we will have learned when we learn to drive applies in normal, dry, clear weather. Is that right? And then you sort of have to adapt it and apply.
Well, you know, the highway code is something that everybody looks at when they're about to do their driving theory test. But I imagine that a lot of people then never look at it again.
Yeah.
It contains a great deal of rules, and it's something that businesses could also adapt when they're looking at employing drivers, to have a look at some of the standards that are expected, something that they should build into their driver policies, their handbook, their training manuals. It provides a good guidance and an outline of the expectations of road law. If you take, for example, the highway code, it suggests that in normal dry weather conditions, you should at least provide a 2-second gap between you and the vehicle in front of you. But of course, if there's adverse weather, or the sun is low in the sky and it's causing any impairment, or there's ice on the road, or it's raining, as is so commonly the case with rain in our country, then you really ought to be extending that gap. At the end of the day, nobody wants to be involved in any of these collisions, not least because of the risk that that individual faces, but of course the consequences if anybody's taken to court. And, you know, my team are regularly appearing in court to assist and represent people that haven't gone out that day to commit criminal offences, but they've found themselves breaching a motoring law for these reasons. And the implications on those people are quite significant, as you can imagine. If you're an employer of those driving your fleet, then you have a duty of care to make sure that those people are safe. Of course, you want to make sure that their vans or the lorries or the cars that they're driving are maintained, and you're going to make sure that the drivers are able to drive and they are safe drivers. But what you should be doing as an employer in adverse weather is to take into account those weather conditions, consider whether that's going to impact on that driver's route and whether or not that's going to impact on the sort of realistic schedules that are placed on drivers in order to carry out deliveries and that sort of thing. So if you do see that adverse weather, employers really should be having a look at maybe changing their routes, or making sure that drivers are told that there's no pressure on you, make sure that you drive safely. The law is pretty lengthy and pretty complex, but you need to add the law and some common sense. So if you put those two together and you take as many reasonable steps that you can, then hopefully you and your drivers will be safe on the roads, or a lot safer on the roads.
Absolutely, yeah, well said. You mentioned their businesses taking care of not only the vehicles in their fleet, but the routes that their drivers might take. Mm. Are businesses also responsible for the quality of driving of people that are working for them?
It is expected in a lot of vocational work, occupational drivers, for employers to have regard to the driver's behaviours, and driver behaviour is really central to so many incidents that occur. Employers can do driving licence checks. For instance, lorry drivers will have regular checks done to see whether or not they've got any points on their licence, and those are aspects that should be reported to the employer. Those are matters that can sometimes also be reported to a traffic commissioner who deals with the lorry drivers' vocational licences. So employers should take all necessary steps to try and mitigate risk and to make sure that their staff are safe. So you would want to ensure that the type of vehicle that you're providing to your staff is one that the employee is trained to drive, like saying to them to go and drive a forklift truck. You would exercise real care to make sure that they were trained in it. You're not going to put a new driver, for instance, into a large vehicle without having the appropriate license. So it's, again, assessing risk, managing that risk, looking at the types of vehicles, the types of work that they need to undertake, and looking at the various guidance that is available, certainly on the Health and Safety Executive website and many other regulators' websites, and getting guidance in respect of the risk management that needs to be undertaken by that employer. Taking care of your staff, taking care of your employees, shouldn't be a difficult feature. It should be one that you're saying to your staff, we want to take care of you. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure you are safe. A lot of people think that the law, in particular health and safety law, is some sort of stick to beat people with, sort of like an angle to cause difficulties. In fact, it's a piece of legislation, it's legislation that is there to keep people safe, to keep the repute of the business intact, and to make sure that you are running your business in a safe and proper way, which in turn actually can create a really good atmosphere around your staffing.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's about using it really to your business's advantage. And one would hope that if you're employed by a company that wants to keep you safe and wants to give you training and wants to make sure that there are proper training and driver manuals there, that as an employee, you would feel that that was an employer that you would be happy to stay working for.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you guys at Woodfines support drivers and businesses with when it comes to sort of motoring matters?
Certainly, so a whole range. So we are called in. Sometimes I call my team the parachute team, where we're called in when somebody's either arrested or invited to a police interview. Sometimes companies are called into investigations because they've breached health and safety regulations. And as a result, we will support directors and officers of the business. We will carry out full inquiries into systems. So often we will deal with things reactively when things have gone a little wrong, and then we will appear in front of inquiries, committees and the courts in order to represent the businesses. So often it is the case that these are isolated incidents. People make mistakes, and we're there to try and contextualise matters and really to set out why it is that we say that that company would do everything they can to avoid those mistakes going forward. We also have real pleasure in assisting people proactively. It's often the best way. Assessing systems, looking at those systems before anything goes wrong is always much better.
Yeah.
Something I say is that preventative dentistry is far better than having to go for an expensive extraction afterwards.
Yes.
So it's taking those steps, sitting back and saying, are we creating a risk? What can we do to limit that risk? And sometimes it is better coming from the eyes of regulatory lawyers, health and safety, motoring lawyers such as us, to look in on externally and say, these are things that need to change, than when you're actually running that business yourself. Otherwise, tip for every driver, don't just look at the highway code to get through your theory test, but revisit it. Have a look at it every now and then. A colleague of mine has recently put online a highway code quiz. It's a serious point. It's about revising it, checking it, and seeing whether or not there are any other things that you can do to improve your driving. At the end of the day, nobody wants to face penalty points or risk of disqualification, or worse, being involved in a serious injury, collision, or fatal accident. But equally, they don't want to have points that are going to then increase their driving premiums for their insurance or any of those aspects. Your driving license is a very, very precious belonging, and it's one to seek to preserve at all times.
Yeah, well said. So if there is anyone listening who does want to proactively get advice, maybe in setting up their fleet for their business or ensuring they're sort of following the regulations accordingly, how can they reach out to you?
Yeah, certainly. So all of our details are on Woodfines' website, www.woodfines.co.uk. There are pages on there in respect of motoring matters, health and safety, and lots of other regulatory aspects of it. And the team then specialise in various aspects of that. So very welcome to drop us a line and we'll be able to assist.
Very, very interesting. Mike Hayward is solicitor at Woodfines and specialist in defence and motoring matters. Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for your advice this morning.
Absolute pleasure. Really nice speaking to you, Michael.